This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. BOGO is back for 1 week only. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm today at EdenPureDeals.com with code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary. Grace will be with you tomorrow, and her sweet voice will be soothing you all, and my bag of rocks voice will no longer be clattering around in your ears. But anyway, one interesting thing that came out today, actually, I read it on the Reuters news service there, that in a, I guess it's not as rare as one might think. There's some Politico fact checker out there saying, false, it's not really that rare. But the Supreme Court has ruled 9-0 in favor of a Christian group here in Boston that had been denied the ability to raise the flag during one of their events. So, you know, historically, if they're having some event on in the public square, they can put their flag, including like the LGBTQ flag has been raised there when, you know, that community has held an event. And so this Christian group was holding an event and they petitioned to have their flag added to the flagpole, and they were denied. And they said, wait a minute, what the heck's going on here? That's not right. So they petitioned the courts, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they ruled 9-0 in favor of that group. So I guess there's still some hope out there, right? And Jared and I were talking offline about this, and he said, yeah, if it gets to the Supreme Court, they have a good chance they'll do their job. And it's true. Like, a lot of stuff just doesn't ever make it there, unfortunately. But it would be great if more stuff did, because obviously a lot of the lower courts are thoroughly confused about what our rights are and what's going on in this world. So anyway, all right, well, let's get back to the phones. Paul, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. How are you, Paul?
I'm good, Toby. It's a pleasure to talk to you and your voice of bag of rocks over there.
Thank you.
I had a quick question for you. I'm at that age now where my sight is absolutely horrible. You know, I wear contacts or glasses because I'm nearsighted, but then when I have those on, I need reading glasses, and I'm having a lot of trouble getting keyed in on my sights.
Sure.
Now, I shoot a Smith & Wesson Shield 9mm Easy, and it has the fiber optic sights on it now, but I'm still having trouble with those, so I was thinking about switching to a red dot.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, this gun isn't equipped to accept a red dot, but I know that they make the adapter that will fit this particular model. And I was curious, because I haven't heard much about, you know, any pros or cons of using this adapter for a red dot sight to add it to a gun that's not normally equipped for a red dot. Have you heard anything negative, or have you had any negative response on that, or any positives?
Yeah, there's actually a good pro and a good con for that adapter. And the way it works is, if it's the one I'm thinking of, the MeproLite is the sight that we sell a lot, that the rear sight, you push it out and you push in a new rear sight that has a longer piece on it that the red dot sight will snap onto. And the pro is that you can take it off whenever you don't want to use it, unlike a gun that has it permanently mounted. So it makes it a little bit more effort to take it on and off. So you can pop it on and off with a quick detach mechanism. The con is that it sits higher above the slide than a regular red dot sight would if it was milled into the slide. So the sight overbore that little offset between the red dot and the bore of where the bullet comes out is a little higher. So it takes a little getting used to as far as driving the gun out in parallel with your line of sight. It might be higher than what you're used to from looking at the sights, but it does give it the ability to have a gun that's not equipped with a red dot to be able to have it. My recommendation is if you are going to go to a red dot sight, get one that's dedicated and cut into the slide so it'll lower that down because it's a little bit more intuitive with your point of aim. But, you know, also practice what I call, what I like to call kinesthetically aligned unsighted fire. And that is so you're looking at the target with both eyes open and you get the gun in parallel with your line of sight. And if that's like a defensive handgun that you're shooting for like defensive firearms training, you'll find that you can usually hit the size target you need to hit at the most likely distance that you would most likely need your gun without using your sights. But when you're talking about like target shooting and whatnot, I get it. And aging eyes, that is a thing. Mine, it's been that way for me. And I recently went to a red dot sight in the last year. So hopefully that'll work for you. And that answers your question, Paul. Does that pretty much round it out for you?
Yeah, I think it does. I think I'm going to need to break down and actually buy one, buy a new weapon that actually is bored out properly with the red dot, because I can foresee having an issue with it.
Yeah.
If it's going to be seated that high.
Yeah.
But I do think, and even yourself, you know, switching to the red dot because of my sight would probably be a much better deal. I mean, I hit the paper without a problem,
mm-hmm.
but I can't key in to exactly where I'd like to be.
Hey, you can't play golf with only one golf club, right? That's the way I see it. You're going to want to add to the get another club in the bag, as I like to say. And that's my salesman side coming through. But anyway, thanks for the call, Paul. I appreciate it. 844-500-4242 is the number if you want to be on the show. 844-500-4242. I'll take your gun questions. I'll take your questions about whatever you want to talk about. We got all kinds of craziness going on in this world. And Dow Jones taking another bath, I see. It's looks like it's down again. It's unbelievable. The last week has been a bad day for investing, I see. And good thing I don't have a lot in the stock market. No, I'm just saying that is another seemingly result of the current economic market that we are in.
The economy's booming, man. Come on,
it's man.
Great.
Yeah.
Everything's great,
It's booming. And like I said earlier, you know, out of all the stuff happening, what is it that's hit you the most? You know, if you want to talk about that inflation, rising price of gas, on the break, I looked at one of my friend's posts who's a landscaper and he's constantly filling vehicles, you know, and it's just crippling him with everything's diesel that he runs. And the credit card machine stopped him twice during the fill up and he still didn't get full. And he's like, you know, he left some choice words on the post, but I understand, man, it's brutal how it cuts into the bottom line, if you will, and everybody's paying it and seeing it. So, you know, what is it? Is 68% of Americans are disapproving of the president's job of handling inflation. So that's a lot of people. That's almost two-thirds of that's more than two-thirds of the country disapprove with the Biden administration's handling of the economy. So it's crazy. 844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. Give us a call if you want to be on. And, you know, we're going to switch gears in a minute here and talk a little bit about the disinformation Ministry of Truth again, because some more has been coming out. And you got Mayorkas, who just took an absolute shellacking on the border. Also, same guy has to sit there and defend the new Ministry of Disinformation. I'm telling you, that guy must go home, and I hope he has like a stuffed animal and he doesn't actually kick the dog, but he has a tough day at work every day to give a defense of both of those situations, the border and the new Minister of Truth or the Ministry of Truth. And Big Sister is now watching, so you better watch out. because she is going to sing a song to you. All right, Jerry's next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jerry. How are you today?
Yeah, how you doing, Toby? I was just talking to the one of you guys that answered the phone there, and I used to work right there where those flags are, getting back to that, if I could.
Yeah.
And they used to put a different flag up every, I don't know, month or so or something or whatever it was.
Right.
This was quite a number of years ago. And they actually had the, they put the North Korean flag on there. They put the Chinese Communist flag out there. And a lot of people in that area, they pointed to me. I didn't really notice it because, I don't know, I was just doing my job most of the time there. But I said, geez, does anybody complain about this? And I guess a lot of people did actually call City Hall there. And I thought they stopped that. But the Christian settlement there may have been back then. I'm not sure when that took place.
Right. Well, it seems like the last group that you're allowed to hate is the Christian white people, right? That's about it. The Christian white people are the last group that you're allowed to hate in this world and discriminate against. Like, you can't discriminate against anyone or anything these days except Christian white people, it seems. But, you know, I think I'm speaking to the echo chamber there. It's, you know, and none of us want to see discrimination of any kind in any way, any shape. And, you know, I feel like the country's done a really good job of moving forward in that direction. And has, I don't believe the hype that we are a inherently racist country or we, you know, have to make apology for the color of skin that you were born with. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I don't believe that there's inherent racism in this country. But anyway, I digress and we will be right back. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
And welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Toby Leary sitting in for the vacationing Grace Curley, who will be back tomorrow. And it is time now for the poll question, which is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Buy one, get one is back for only 1 week only. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm today at EdenPureDeals.com with code GRACE. That's GRACE. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE. What is the poll question, Jared, and what are the results?
Did you watch the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Yes, no, or I had no idea it was even happening.
I fall into the latter, and I must have missed that. So how's it shaping up?
No is in the lead solidly at 71%. 27% say I had no idea it was even happening, and just 1% say yes, they did watch the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
And they are all the better for it, the 1%, right?
Proponents of the pre-fress, as someone might say.
The pre-fress isn't what we need to worry about as Americans.
The pre-fress is not the enemy of the people.
That's right. We don't need to worry about that. That is not the enemy of the people. All right. Full boards here, been waiting a while, so let's go right to the phones. Mark, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. How are you today?
Great, Toby. How about yourself? I have a quick question. I have a Ruger 1022 Tactical with a entry-level Tasco Red Dot. Is there any advantage to going to the more expensive Red Dots?
Only if you're, like, going to use it for defensive purposes, which, you know, that's the only question is reliability. You know, if that was going to be your primary defensive weapon for a home defense or something like that, then I would say, yeah, invest in a good, high, you know, better quality Red Dot sight. But if it's just for plinking at the range, use it till it breaks and buy another one. That's the way I look at it. I put some cheap sights on guns from time to time just because it's not like something I'm worried about or, you know, going to rely on to defend myself or others. So, yeah, the cheap and cheerful ones are good just to, you know, keep around and give you something to do. And sometimes they can go out of whack and be frustrating. And if that happens, sell it to someone you don't like and get a new one. But until that day, if it's holding zero, I'd say use it till it breaks and you'll be in good shape. So yeah, good. Thanks for the call, Mark. Brett, you're next. Not Brett. Charlie's been waiting a while. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. How are you?
Hi, Toby. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
I have a question. Yeah, good. I got a question. I carry a Ruger SP-101 in 9mm, and finding ammunition is not an issue, but what I found is I get crimp jump occasionally.
Yes.
And brands are bad. Do you know if anyone's done a study or if there's specific brands that are known to be I should avoid or ones that I should actually look for?
I don't know of anyone who's done a study, but I would assume that maybe something with a military, you know, maybe even like the Russian Tula ammo, while you can still get it, or a Barnall or something that has a seal around the jacket and the case so that it'll keep that down to a minimum. But I don't know if steel honestly crimps better on the bullet head. That's a good question. And what he's talking about is as you fire, because it's a straight wall cartridge, the remaining rounds in the cylinder kind of creep out of the case a little bit, and that can cause the cylinder to jam up on the gun. And that throws a whammy into the reliability of revolvers, which are known to be very reliable. But I would say that you're just going to have to experiment. Maybe get something with a shorter overall length, like a Winchester Silvertip if you're using it for defensive purposes or something like that. That's not as stout recoil, maybe a subsonic round. You're going to just have to try it out a bunch with a bunch of ammo, but I don't know of a study. I'm sure you could Google it, but I wish I had a better answer for you there, because I frankly don't know the answer, but I do like the concept of a 9mm revolver because I like the availability of moon clips, which helps reload a little bit quicker than a regular speed loader or et cetera, et cetera. But I would say you're going to have to do a little bit of research with your wallet because find out which one creeps a little bit less. But anyway, good luck with that. And Jerry, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jerry.
Good afternoon. Thank you so very much for taking my call. You know, over the months and months that you've been doing this, you've referenced the number of times that you should try different ammo to find out what works in your gun, what you like, what works. Why would one ammo work better than another in any particular gun?
Well, when I reference that, it's more of a defensive ammo because some guns don't fire all defensive ammo equally well. Like when I used to carry a 1911 back in the early 90s to mid 90s, that gun didn't have a throated barrel, which most of the modern 1911s come with, and it didn't like hollow point ammunition. So I actually had serious reliability issues. You put ball ammunition, what the gun was designed to shoot back in 1907, in it, and it ran fine. But whenever you put some big hollow point in it, like with a gaping hole in the front of the bullet, it would kind of stick to the feed ramp and compress the bullet into the case and would have feeding issues. I got it throated and I was able to work it out. But fast forward to modern guns, most of them are going to shoot well, most ammo well. But there is the off chance that you'll have some combination of ammo versus gun that it doesn't like, and it would be a horrible thing to figure that out during the worst case scenario. I'll give you a perfect example. When I was, or probably don't have time, but I'll tell you the story on the other side of the break, but you just want to make sure that the ammo works well in the gun. So if you're on the phone, hold on and we'll get to you on the other side. Thanks for the call. You're listening to the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary, guest hosting here for another half an hour until the wonderful Grace Curley returns back tomorrow. So if you want to be on the show, 844-500-4242. And before the break, we were talking about, it was a very good question, and I know I use that term a lot, but Jerry was wondering why I recommend people try out different ammo in their guns. And here's a perfect example. Like, I carried a Glock 19 for years after switching up the unreliable 1911, and I could break the internet just by saying that. But the Glock 19 was very reliable. And then one day I got a Surefire barrel and I dropped that in. It was a $300 barrel upgrade to my gun. And I continued to carry it with the ammunition that I had historically carried in the gun, which was at the time I was carrying Liberty Civil Defense, which I no longer carry, but I carried it around for 3 weeks. And then I went to the range and said, I really got to stick to my guns here and take a page out of my own advice. And I went to shoot, and I got click. So I tapped and racked and put the next round in, click, tapped and racked again, click. Out of the entire magazine, not one round fired. It was just the perfect combination of gun, barrel, and ammo that would not fire. I put the old barrel in, fired flawlessly. I put different ammo in, fired flawlessly. So you don't want to be carrying around a tomahawk or a rock when you think you have a gun and for defensive purposes. So definitely want to try out, and you should be able to shoot at least 100 rounds flawlessly out of your carry gun with whatever carry ammo that you put in the gun. So there you have it, Jerry. Hopefully that helps. And Brett, you've been on hold forever, so go ahead, Brett. You're next on the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, Toby. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I got maybe a couple two parts here. One, I've had my LTC ever since they've been LTCs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I spent $25 on the first one. I've kept it up along. It's due for renewal this year. But back then, you never had to take a class, or at least when it started, you know. Mm-hmm. I think classes are a smart thing to do. And I need to take some classes.
Yeah.
And I'd like to come down to your place and maybe, since I'm on a Western Mass, do a two-day thing, stay overnight.
Sure.
What would you recommend? I mean, I've done very little or no shooting since I've had my LTC.
Yeah.
Where should I start?
I would, you could take a intro to pistol handling class, which is kind of a short one, but I would recommend maybe mark your calendar, come down this summer and take in August. We have Barrett Kendrick coming for it's called intuitive defensive shooting. We're going to be doing it one day. You could stick around and do some other stuff on day two, but it would be probably, in my opinion, one of the best classes you could take. We had Rob Pincus teach it last week at our range. And I teach it about once a month, but Barrett is one of the senior instructors that'll be teaching it. I think it's a phenomenal class to take. And if anyone around you teaches that as well, I would say, you know, don't hesitate. That's, in my opinion, the best one-day class you could take if you're going to carry a gun out there in the public. So great, great question, Brett. I really hope that most people will decide to take a class, but I'm going to try to churn through a few of these calls here before the break. So Tony, you're next. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, thank you, Toby. I just wanted to comment on Nancy Pelosi's trip to the Ukraine. I can't remember too many times when a Speaker of the House has stated administration and United States policy in a foreign country. When she went and stated that we would be with the Ukraine until the very end. You know, it was so irresponsible. And to back that up, many of the allies in NATO were like shocked that she would make that kind of a statement, because the commitment is that no matter what happens there in Ukraine by Russia, Nancy Pelosi now has stated our policy, we're going to stand with Ukraine. Well,
right. That
is an unbelievable statement to make, and it shows the weakness of the President of the United States himself when he wouldn't dare make that statement, but yet she would go over her skis and make an incredibly irresponsible foreign policy statement.
Well, I think that it actually does go hand in hand with what, and thanks for the call, Tony. I think your observations are very poignant, but the president did make statements to that effect a few months ago where he was like, remember, he's talking to the soldiers and he says, hey, when you go over there, you're going to see, you know, and they're like, wait a minute, what? Are you sending us to Ukraine? And then he was standing up saying, you know, this is why Putin can no longer be allowed to stay in office. And it's like, wait, are you saying we're going to go remove the president of Russia? You know, and then when he was taking a task on that, he was like, I never said anything of the sort. I never said any such thing. And it's, you're right, Tony, in that our foreign leaders are speaking out of turn, if you will. Like, Congress hasn't declared that they're going to go to war against Russia via Ukraine, although they kind of did through the, you know, support of Poland sending all their aircraft there, and we'll replace whatever you send, because there's this, you know, two arms length where you can't just, we can't just send arms to Ukraine, but they're trying to do it through all this other ways because of, you know, NATO and everything else. And frankly, they've got us entwined in this war just by their, you know, the old saying, loose lips sink ships, is not applying to the politicians on the, you know, that are in power these days. They just say whatever the heck they want, and then they let their PR groups or their, you know, press secretaries kind of try to mop up and clean up the mess that they created. But there's no apology for it whatsoever. They just say what they say. And like you said, they go over there and say, we're standing with the people till the bitter end. And it's like, they want to, I just want to know, what is it about Ukraine that has all of a sudden, we're not talking about like Europe, or like, excuse me, we're not talking about England. We're not talking about some other country that does have legitimate elections. We're talking about a country that has suppressed the opposition and is a highly corrupt country. Why all of a sudden are we so concerned with making sure they can defeat Putin when, you know, Putin's been threatening Ukraine forever, and who was the one that was able to hold him back was Trump. And now all of a sudden, you know, you get someone in the side. Anyway, I could go on and on for days about that, but I'm more of the opinion, like, let's stop getting involved in foreign wars. Let's start closing up our own border, not worrying so much about other borders. But there you have that. That's why I don't run for office. Dan, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. How are you?
Good. Sorry, I'll take off speaker. Just a quick question about legal ramifications of my ex-wife and I have a good relationship. I've taken her shooting before. Mm-hmm. I have a handgun that I keep at her house. It's under lock and key. She has access to it. The reason it's there is because I want her to have something to defend my kids if, God forbid, someone breaks in the house. She does not have her license to carry yet. She is working on that. But I guess what I'm basically asking is, am I allowed to keep that weapon there? Or
you have a responsibility, Dan, to make sure that the weapons you own are inaccessible by those who are not legally able to own them. So if she does not have a license in this state, you're going to have to get that fixed before you can leave a gun there in stage one for, you know, defensive purposes. I know it sounds counterintuitive to the Second Amendment, where Congress shall make no law and shall not be infringed, but you live behind the Iron Curtain where freedom was started and went to die. So now you have to be duly licensed by your government agency, and your local chief law enforcement officer will have to sign off on it and say that she can now possess a gun in the state. So unfortunately, until you straighten that out, I would say get the guns out of there, even if they are locked up, because if she has access to it, technically you're in violation of the law and you're improperly storing a firearm. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And Rick, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Thanks for calling, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, Toby? I was just wondering, do you have a class for LEOSA so law enforcement can carry anywhere in any states?
Yes. Yes, we do. So we do the LEOSA qualifications probably, I don't know, once every other month, I would say. You can always check the schedule at CapeGunWorks.com. And we do make that available quite a bit for retired law enforcement. And, you know, if you're on the job and you are currently employed by any law enforcement agency, you have protection in all 50 states you can legally carry. But once you retire, you have to maintain a level of qualification, and it's renewable every year, which I find surprising, frankly. You would think it would be valid for 5 years or 6 year period or something like that. But every year you have to requalify in order to be able to carry a gun in all 50 states after, you know, supposedly getting trained every year for however long your career was. So you guys have more training than most people. And, you know, unfortunately, I think hopefully that answers your question, Rick. But most people, unfortunately, and the news is good on this front that it is changing, but less than 2% of all gun owners used to take any type of formal training class outside of what is required to get the permit in their state. So it was a sad kind of statistic for those of us in the gun industry, but I'm glad to say that that is changing. I don't know exactly what the percentage is now, but more and more people have been taking classes. And so hopefully you'll be able to find a class that'll fit your schedule, Rick, and you'll be able to, you know, take care of that. So thanks for the call. 844-500-4242 is the number to call if you want to be on the show. And Jared has something very important to report on right now.
Yes, it is time to announce today's $50 for gas money winner.
Woohoo!
Congratulations to David.
You won! You did it!
You won $50 for gas from Howie and Grace. Look for an email from store@howiecarshow.com with instructions if your name is David and you're on the mailing list. And if you want to win $50 for gas from Grace and Howie, go to gracecurlyshow.com and sign up for a chance to win $50 in gas money. That's every day we do that. 50 on Grace, 50 on Howie. So Biden inflation ain't going nowhere. So if you need a little break at the pump, Howie and Grace might be able to do that for you. Just go to gracecurlyshow.com and sign up for your chance to win $50 in gas money.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
And welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. And it is time for the car crossover brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth. They take care of you when you buy a vehicle and after. Service is easy with their convenient drive-through, and Toyota of Portsmouth service uses genuine Toyota parts. So schedule an appointment at toyotaportsmouth.com. Toyotaofportsmouth.com. And Howie, how are you today?
Very good, Toby. Very good.
Good. You know, it's funny. I'm sure you have some wonderful cuts for everybody about the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and I am proud to say I didn't steal any of your thunder because I didn't even know it was happening. I just completely fell asleep on that one. I don't know how I missed it.
If you'd tried to watch it, you would have had accomplished the same thing, maybe even quicker, fallen asleep.
Oh, man.
So, Toby, maybe you can help me out. I've been working on a story. If you have a gun in your car and you're intoxicated, I know that's a crime, right? But does the gun have to be loaded for it to be a crime? I know, don't ask whether you're loaded or not, but does the gun have to be loaded for it to be a crime?
It depends what state you're in, number one. But
Massachusetts.
Okay, Massachusetts, then
Barnstable County.
Absolutely not. If the gun is in your possession, then you can be, in trouble. And there's like a...
But if the gun's not loaded, how about if the gun's not loaded and you are?
It depends if it was locked and stored properly or not. So
How about if it's just on the front seat?
Yeah, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. Because
you think so? Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've looked at the statute.
Yeah, well, the way it works is if it's not under your direct control, that's the operative language of the statute, is direct control. So on the seat is not under your direct control, or anywhere that's not on your body. If it's not under your direct control, then it must be locked and cased.
So if you've got four guns in the car when you're pulled over, passed out somewhere, mm-hmm. but not operating the car, it doesn't really matter if the guns are loaded or not, because not all four of them can't be under your direct control.
Right.
Correct?
I mean, there is a difference between long guns and handguns. So if it's like a...
Two handguns, two long guns.
Okay. So, yeah, you're definitely in heap big trouble, as they used to say.
How about if you're related to somebody who's very important?
Probably not so much. I know there's...
do you see where I'm going with this story, Toby? Have you heard the rumors down there where you live?
I have not, no.
I'll fill you in after. We're working on it. We're prying the story loose little bit by bit.
But yes, improper storage of a firearm is the actual...
Improper yep. storage of a firearm.
Yep.
I must remember that.
Mm-hmm. And you could be found in big-time trouble. That's one of the stiffest penalties that they have now on the books that they actually enforce.
Would this hurt your chances to become a police officer down the road if you were found guilty of improper storage of a firearm?
I believe it would, yes.
Even if you have a very important person that you're related to?
Well, now you're wading into the gray area.
We're wading into the, into
Do you
the
know who
subjective
I am?
Class questions.
Yeah, unfortunately, I hate the fact that there is a two-tier justice system, but there is a two-tier justice system.
Certainly on Cape Cod there is.
Mm. Oh, boy.
And elsewhere in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
For sure, for sure. I wonder if you've seen the... I didn't get to it, but it was on my notes for the show, but hopefully you'll get to it on your show about, it seems like Elon Musk has been on fire lately on the Twitter.
Looking at it right now. This thing about NBC is fantastic.
Yeah.
I wish I'd thought of that to write a sentence that had Matt Lauer and rape room in the same sentence.
It is unbelievable. It's obviously a guy who just doesn't care anymore.
Rape office. That's even better than rape room.
It sure is. Oh, man.
Yeah. Who are these people that are saying this stuff about him? This guy's name, what is this guy's name? Mehdi Hasan or Mehdi R. Hasan. Who the hell is he?
I've never heard of him.
Who's he to come into this country and want to do away with the First Amendment?
He's basically saying that the right wing is neo-Nazi faction of the right wing, right? Isn't that what he's saying of the GOP?
So when Twitter was controlled by leftist lunatics, was that the neo-communists?
It was utopia, Howie. It was utopia.
It was.
All right, have a great show. This is the Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary.